Would you like to take your seats? Now, today's gospel reading is a challenging text. And when I sort of opened up and looked at the lectionary readings for today, the easiest thing to do was to avoid that one and go for one of the other ones. And I wonder how often we do that. How often do we come to a little bit of the Bible where it feels a bit tricky, a bit challenging, and we sort of skip over it, gloss over it until we come to the nicer bits, the more fluffy bits that make us feel a bit more comfortable. But as we look at that passage today, let's keep in mind some of the words that we heard in Isaiah. Come to me, listen, and you will live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And if we go back to that passage, the gospel passage, as I say, it would have been much easier to have gone for something else this morning. But actually, I think God wants us to wrestle with some of those passages that we find a bit more challenging, a bit more tricky maybe. And actually, this passage in the gospel is one of those. There are some gruesome and tragic events. We see untimely death. We see the type of things that we read in the news, where somebody or a group of people are brutally killed, or a tragic event with a wall or something falling over. But when these events are told about, what we have in the passage are warnings of judgment. We have the warning of judgment and the call to repent, followed by the parable of the fruitless fig tree. But we need to see this passage in the context of Luke. And it comes within Luke's whole sort of journey of Jesus into Jerusalem. It comes within the journey that Jesus makes to the cross to die for the sins of mankind. And if we just focus on this passage, and we just look at this little bit, we see judgment and repentance, and we need to take that seriously. And it's not a popular topic. Oh, what shall I talk about today? What should we advertise on the website? Judgment and repentance. You know, it's hardly going to draw in the crowds, is it? But we need to take seriously the words of Jesus. And it's actually an apt passage in Lent, probably why it's in the lectionary. But we need to see it in the wider context, which I'll come to in a moment. But we see at the start of these readings two tragic events. And what we see in the discourse that's going on is the linking of sin with the tragedy. And one of the places we see the wall falling over at Siloam. The only other time we see this place appearing is in John's Gospel, in the story of the man born blind. And if you think back to that story, again, we see the linking of people of sin to disaster. Jesus is asked, why was the man born blind? Is it because he sinned? Is it because his parents sinned? And Jesus says, neither. And then Jesus heals him. And actually, this connection between sin and suffering is commonplace. It's commonplace throughout the scriptures. Obedience to God brings blessing. Disobedience brings a curse. Job's comforters. You know, surely Job did something wrong, didn't he, for all this to happen to him? And I think we see this view very sort of prevalent in our culture. You know, you hear people use the word karma, even if they don't really believe in karma. It's a common word that's used. What goes around comes around. What did they do so wrong to deserve that happening to them? Didn't they have enough faith? Well, Jesus clearly rejects that view. We see it in that story in John. A person's righteousness, or lack of it, has got nothing to do with the suffering that happens to them. Jesus' conclusion in this passage isn't a connection between sin and suffering. That's not what he highlights, but he highlights the necessity of repentance when we hear of such events. We can't stand back and read things in the media, see things happen to us or those close to us, and stand back and say, that's because of that. when we read, when we hear of these things today, and we look at this story today, what is the call? The call is to repentance when we hear of those events. The implication of this passage is, don't put off responding to the message of Jesus. There is an apocalyptic feel to parts of this passage. We don't know when our or the world's end is coming. The message is, with urgency, turn to Christ. Implication, with urgency, take the message of Christ. That can be uncomfortable, but it seems to be the message of the text, and it would be wrong to gloss over it. It's particularly uncomfortable in our culture. We see the words, repent or you will perish as they did. It is repeated. We avoid talking about judgment. We often avoid talking about repentance. But it is part of Orthodox belief. Every week we say the creed. Every week in the creed we declare that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. It's part of our faith. We like to emphasise the love of God, and quite rightly too. But a loving God is a just God. Just think about our community here. In our community, people are trafficked. People come into this country with the promise of a better life, and they are taken into slavery. They are trafficked, and they are caught in slavery. Becoming slaves, we have people in our community, probably not even a stone's throw away, that are in slavery for somebody else's material gain. A few months ago, an old lady, amazing faith this lady had, forgiving the person on her deathbed, an old lady who survived Auschwitz, mugged and died just up the road on her way to church. A few weeks ago, near St. Thomas, somebody was murdered. At Gathering Place each week, we have people who come in who cannot afford to eat, who cannot afford to feed their kids. People who are homeless. Does that make you angry? Do you want justice in those situations? It makes God angry too. A loving God is a just God. Now, as I said, God's wrath and God's judgment are not popular preaching topics. I would find it far easier just to talk about the grace and the love of God. However, this week I was reading a reflection within sort of a daily reading on Lent, and it said this: when we edit out God's anger at the human heart bent on evil, we create a toothless idol. A dashboard size nodding godlet, graceless and loveless. A God that would say, oh well, my people are stealing, murdering, destroying each other's relationships, but humans will be humans. Such an idolatry is an insult to all who have suffered injustice. God's rage is a mark of the depth of his love for the alien, the oppressed, the orphan, the abused, the widow uncared for, the innocent maimed. God's anger is against the hypocrisy of his people, who've served themselves and their idols, whilst performing set religious practice as a holy veneer. Divine wrath comes with a call to repentance and coexists with divine patience that reaches out again and again. I think there's also an implied warning in this passage of us not to judge others. The implication is the people in the passage were judging why the disaster happened to these other people, coming to conclusions about why they may be in the position that they are. And I think it's so easy to do that, particularly when we look at the society around, removing the speck when potentially there are planks in our own eyes. And we see this story, we see this illustration, and as is often the way with Jesus, He then illustrates what he is saying with the parable of the fruitless fig tree. For those who know the Old Testament scriptures, you heard what Jesus was saying. It reminds them of Micah 7, where the search for justice in Israel is compared to that of a frustrated harvester who finds no fig nor grape in the vineyard. Or Isaiah 5 and the failure of the vineyard, Israel, to produce fruit. And although there is the call to repentance, there is the warning of judgment in this passage, we also see the mercy of God. For 3 years, the owner of the vineyard looked for fruit on this fig tree and found none. What is the conclusion? Now, I am useless at gardening. Okay, I tend to, whatever the opposite of green fingers is, I have it. But if I had a tree or I had something in my garden that time after time wasn't producing flowers, the conclusion I would come to is rip it up and put it on the compost heap or whatever we have. The tree deserves to be cut down and discarded. Get rid of it. It's no good. It's only useful for sticking on the bonfire or sticking in the compost. But what happens in this parable? The gardener asks for more time. Let me tend for it. Let me care for it. Let me enable it to bear fruit. The response of the gardener makes no sense. And as I've said, I'm no gardener, but I do know if something has probably not produced fruit or flowers for a few years, it probably ain't worth it. The plant, the fig tree, had had time. It was unproductive. Get rid. But what we see in this parable, alongside the implication of judgment and the warning to come to repentance because of that judgment, what we see in this parable is an example of God's extravagant nature of mercy. And we see that throughout Luke. If we just preach or read a story of judgment and a call to repentance without understanding the love and the mercy of God, we have a one-sided story. We have bad news with no good news. Just over the page in your Bibles, we have this story. Flip over the page, and what do we have? The parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son. And I said at the start, we need to see this passage in the context that Luke has put it. We need to read today's chapter in the context of the larger narrative of Luke. The narrative of the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go after the one. The God that searches out the coin or the person that was lost. If I lost 20p, I'd probably go, forget it. What we see in this story is the extravagant mercy of God. And we see the abundant welcome back to the wayward son. So as we reflect and take seriously the words of Jesus today in the reading, not flip over the page because it's an uncomfortable one, as we take serious the warnings of judgment, we will say, as I said later, Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. As we take seriously the words today, as we take seriously the warnings of judgment, the implied challenge about judging others, about why things are happening to them, and the call to repentance before it's too late, we do so with an understanding of God's extravagant love and mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We come to the one, as we come again in Lent, to examine ourselves, to examine our lives, to repent. We come to the one that loves. We come to the one that seeks out that was lost. We come to Jesus, who, like the gardener, fights our corner and gives us another chance. But let's remember that the passage does speak to us of the need to respond to the mercy of God with urgency. The fig tree is given another year. If it doesn't produce fruit, it will be cut down. The time to act is now. uncomfortable language, uncomfortable particularly in our culture. But we need to grapple with it, not skip over it. We see these words, "I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." So today, as we come shortly to a time of penitence, as we reflect in this period of Lent, we are offered the opportunity to reflect and repent, but there is an urgency to take the message to others. When we think about today's passage, it's not about wallowing in sin or wallowing in shame, but it is about being real, about acknowledging our sin before God, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God, the scriptures say. But as we come to God in penitence, we do this with a promise. The promise of the free, unbounded love, mercy, and forgiveness of God. The one who leaves the 99 to go after the one. I don't know about you, but having been a Christian for many years, when I read that story, I picture myself in the 99 because I am one of God's people. But each one of us were the one. Each one of us were the one that God went after. We are the one. The one that God loves so much that he goes after. Like the father and the story of the prodigal son, the one who welcomed us back. What is our response, both personally? We can just think about this message personally. But actually there is an urgency. There is an urgency that we take the message beyond these walls. To the person we work with on Monday morning, to our next door neighbour, to whoever it may be. And as we reflect on this passage and we take seriously the words about a judgment and the warnings to repent with urgency, we do so seeing the context of Luke of the mercy of God. So in a moment we're going to listen to a song that expresses this. As we go into a time of penitence, we do so with an understanding of the love and the mercy of God, but taking the repentance and the call to come back seriously, taking this period of Lent seriously. As we listen to the song, some of you may be familiar with it, some of you may have never heard it before. Feel free just to listen and reflect on the words. We don't often do that, do we? We often stand up and we're singing, and sometimes I find I've sung and I've not even thought about the words I've sung. This is an opportunity for us to reflect and actually let God speak into our hearts. If we take seriously Jesus' words today, if we take seriously this season of Lent, let us also remember the context in which we come. Not a running away from, but a facing up to what we need to turn from. But knowing that as we come to God, we come to the one that seeks us out. We come to the one when we were the one who left the 99 and went after us.